The public the hearing heard at one point have been given a mirror onto a world they didn't really know about, and they're horrified. The inquiry is looking into the practices of the press. Some of them don't hold up well to scrutiny. The day after Anne Diamond buried her baby, The Sun printed a photograph on its front page. "They trampled all over my dignity," the broadcaster said, "and all over our child's grave."
Nobody had even known him except us. There was a photographer, and if you see the front page that followed, it speaks much more strongly than anything I could ever say to this inquiry, that here we were, a young couple, at our child's funeral, and they took this photograph.
"I am ashamed," Richard Pepiat told Lord Justice Leveson. "I do question my own moral judgment." His public mea culpa was prompted by his 2-year stint working at Richard Desmond's Daily Star. He read out some of the headlines from the paper he once worked for.
"Chilly Mine to open as theme park. Angelina Jolie to play Susan Boyle in film. Bubbles to give evidence at Jacko trial." That's his monkey. "Jade's back in Big Brother." She was dead at the time. And then we have the likes of Muslim-only public loos. Completely untrue as well.
Writing truthful articles, according to Paul McMullen, was what motivated him. To get at that truth while working at the News of the World might involve grey areas, black illegal areas, and nights sitting outside someone's home in his surveillance van. Mr. McMullen said hacking wasn't uncommon among the rank and file, and those at the top knew what was going on.
"We did all these things for our editors, for Rebecca Brooks and for Andy Coulson, and I don't think anyone realised that anyone was committing a crime at the start. And so my assertion has always been that Andy Coulson brought that practice wholesale with him when he was appointed deputy editor."
Some of the practices of the press have been on display. So too has their power. When evidence of the illegal access of data was discovered during a raid on the home of a private investigator, Alec Owens, a former police officer, believed they should also pursue the reporters who had requested the information. He told Francis Aldhouse and Richard Thomas, his bosses at the Information Commissioner's office, "We can go for everybody, from the blagger right up to the newspaper."
At which point, there was a look of horror on Mr. Aldhouse's face, and he said, "We can't take them on, they're too big for us." And Mr. Thomas just sort of bemused, deep in thought, just said, "Yep, fine." And then he just said, "Thanks very much for updating us."
While Mark Lewis was representing the victims of phone hacking, his opponent, News International, was doing its best to discourage him. It hired an investigator to follow his ex-wife and one of his teenage daughters. And around the same time, Julian Pike from the legal firm Farrah & Co., on the instruction of Tom Crone at the newspaper group, commissioned a surveillance firm to look into his private life. They feared Mr. Lewis was exchanging highly confidential details with another lawyer and leaking information in cases involving them.
"News International sought to destroy my life and very nearly succeeded. It was complete arrogance and idiocy by Julian Pike at Farrah's and Tom Crone. They were so busy navel-gazing that they hadn't realised that there were so many possible sources of the story. And because they were so arrogant and so stupid, they didn't bother to look at that. They just set out to ruin my life."
For a second time, News International's barrister rose to apologise for placing Mr. Lewis's family under surveillance. For a second time, he must have known the damage has been done.